Okay, this is Johnny Fritz, and I'm playing a song called Goodbye Summer. Well, this is a story about, it's kind of about just being on tour too much. And there are a couple little micro stories in here. That is the life of a touring musician, nothing but inside jokes.
Oh, broken bottle at the bottom of the pool, what the hell happened here last night? Well, I crapped out in the parking lot, how about you, did you sleep all right? Cigarette butts in a coffee cup. Can someone please call my phone? Can we swing by a CVS? I left my contact solution at home. Oh, goodbye summer, goodbye fall. Hello people, I don't know it all. Goodbye winter and goodbye spring. Hello woman with a wedding ring. I bet a lady like the one you are has heard about every line. And I bet you're the owner of a married man, so maybe I'll say goodnight. She said, well, I'll be waiting at the Holiday Inn, room number 305. I'm here on business and I'm all alone, so won't you pay me a visit tonight? Yeah, goodbye summer, goodbye fall. Hello people, I don't know it all. Goodbye winter and goodbye spring. Hello woman with a wedding ring. Hello, stranger with a wedding ring. Hello, lover with a wedding ring. Are you gonna make me sing? Oh, are you gonna make me crawl? Don't turn me off now. Give y'all directions to the party, but I don't know if I'm gonna go. I've been up all night, secondhand smoking, and sleeping on a goddamn floor. Oh, but we got offered a place to crash, but there's a funny look in this dude's eye. And I get the feeling he'll be wanting to jam and staying up until the morning light. So goodbye summer, goodbye fall. Hello people, I don't know it all. Goodbye winter and goodbye spring. Hello woman with a wedding ring. Hello stranger with a wedding ring. Hello lover with a wedding ring. Hello someone's mama with a wedding ring. Hello baby's mama with a wedding ring. Hello Latin lover with a wedding ring.
Whew. That was Goodbye Summer by our guest tonight, Johnny Fritz, a Nashville songwriter, marathon runner, leather craftsman, a man of many talents. Where do you find the hours in the day, Johnny?
I don't know. That's actually my biggest problem, trying to figure out how to fit it all in.
Perhaps you're looking harder than the rest of us.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't think I'm really looking at all. I think I'm just going straight head on and full speed into it, you know, without really thinking.
I wanted to start by talking about that song, Goodbye Summer. It's the opening track on your latest album, Dad Country, and it begins as many great country songs do, this hungover Sunday morning coming down kind of feeling, a guy piecing together the events of the night before, also trying to move on. And what's different about the guy singing that song from other country singers is that he isn't reminiscing about some internal dilemma or battle. He's just missing his cell phone and his contact solution.
Right.
And
he's just complaining about life on tour.
So yeah. I wanted to ask you how important it is to extend the line of the golden era of country music, but still have a voice that's modern and relevant to our times.
Yeah, it's really important to me. It's kind of everything. I don't know, everything I've ever wanted to write has just been the true, you know, and I feel like the stuff that, you know, I don't know, there's just so many cliche things I just couldn't write, you know, like I hate bars, you know, talking about, say, drinking in a bar and missing a girl, it's just pathetic, it's just not me, you know. I'm like, the things that really inspire me are more like, you know, when Josh, my fiddle player, is always like, really can't find his phone or can't plug it in or can't figure out where's contact, why he always forgets his contact solution, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the stuff that to me really describes a scene a lot better than, like, you know, drop in the word whiskey or truck or girl or Daisy Dukes, you know, and that's just, that stuff just hits below the belt to me.
You're a master of the attention to detail too, I think, with those lines, and then Holiday Inn, room number 305.
That's a true story.
What is that story?
It's pretty funny. A good friend of mine, his band started to do pretty well. And he one night saw this girl at a bar. It was in Toronto, I think. And he said, I'm going to go. He thought to himself, I'm going to go hit on her, see what luck I have. So he it was the end of the night, and he'd played a great show and felt pretty good about himself. He slid in next to her and said, hey, how you doing? And she just stopped him dead in his tracks. Was like, what? Are you hitting on me? And he just froze, just totally caved, like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm sorry to offend you, ma'am, or something. And she said, no, shut up. Listen, I'm here for one night. I'm staying at the Holiday Inn. I'm here on business. And she slid, I'm in room 305, and she slid her hotel key to her, like, on the bar. And I said, well, did you go for it? He said, no, man, I was scared to death. So I put that in the song for him. That was kind of the hymn. And that was actually the Goodbye Summer thing was another thing. He had gotten, I was with him that a couple days later, we were on a tour together, and he had gotten a tour with Alison Krauss, and it was going to be like a 3-month thing. It was June through August. They weren't going to get off the road till September, and then they were going to go all the way into the fall, was going to go away, and they got really excited about the tour, and then they said, well, there goes my summer. There goes the fall. I was like, yeah, goodbye summer, goodbye fall. Hello, people I don't know at all,
Would it be appropriate to mention who that friend of yours was?
I don't know. He might get upset.
It's all good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so many of your songs have all of these micro stories, like you said, and you have such a way of weaving them all together.
Wow, thank you.
And it feels, like you said, an inside joke. But you let the listener be an insider.
Right, yes, exactly. Oh, right on. Yeah, there you go, Trapper. I'm going to use that one. That's good.
It's an invitation to be have a seat in the van, be one of the guys,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
Which is a really great part about your music.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I always have a hard time describing what it is that inspires me or the stuff that I like to write about. But I don't know. To me, it makes perfect sense. I think Roger Miller once said that, there was a great documentary about him. He said something about how he thought he was writing songs just like Hank Williams or Mel Tillis or everybody else, but everybody, it took the rest of the world to be like, no, man, you're pretty weird. Your music's pretty far out. And he was like, oh, I thought I was just doing the same thing as everybody else. That was just my version of it. And that's how I feel. I really think that I'm just making the songs that make the most sense to me and they're the most honest and this is just what comes out.
They're honest, yet aren't afraid to be eccentric.
Right, and, yeah, certainly not.
I'm also thinking of Sturgill Simpson,
how he
brings a new narrative to an old sound, as you do, and it does make me hopeful for the future of country music, and not to open Pandora's box here and talk about what's wrong with Nashville, what's wrong with country, but there is, I think, a movement happening.
Yeah,
change.
I agree.
There's a change.
Well, yeah, there is, and it's really exciting. I'm really excited. There's actually a great movie called Heartworn Highways, Revisited. I don't know if you've heard about this. It's a movie that was made in 75 or something.
And it was a profile of artists like Towns, Steve Earle, and it was, them in their element. It's such a good documentary.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's one of my favorites. And growing up and then when I was 19, I moved to Philadelphia, and I was there for 5 years or so. And I've been doing this stuff since I was like 18, writing these kind of songs and stuff. And I just was waiting and waiting and waiting for something to happen because nobody cared, Nobody liked this kind of music at all. And so it's not just that the music is that there is this wave. There definitely is this feels like this new generation of like-minded songwriters. And I mean, all across the board, there's so many now, it's really exciting. But it's also that there are people that are excited to listen to it because, Carrie Ann Hurst has been making records for 10, 15 years, but not as many people have been paying attention to her until the last couple of years. So it's really exciting on both the listener and the musician's part.
And I know you have a role in Heartworn Highways Revisited. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, it's a little embarrassing because I'm in that movie a lot. But and I at first I was like, ah, oh, geez, I don't know. I'm not that big of a deal on this thing. But you know, the way they made the first one was they went to Texas and found Guy Clark, and they said who should we film next? And Guy Clark said, well, you got to film Townes Van Zandt and Townes. You know, everybody kind of opened up from there, and that's how they did the new one as well. They used that same platform, and you know, when I met Wayne Price, the director, he was pretty much like, "Can we set up at your house, and who can you bring over?" And I was like, "Well, you got to film Josh Headley," and John McCauley was already involved, and it just snowballed from there. And so, it's a really good movie. I'm really proud of that and excited, and it really just shows how, yeah, this new generation's here. It's been a long time coming.
Well, we could talk all night, but do you want to do another song?
Yeah, sure. I want to do a new one. I haven't really played that very much at all. Speaking of little micro worlds, this is a song about a hotel in Nashville. It's a real dark corner of the world. It's called the Stadium Inn. Honeymoon and couple brought in out of the rain. Car broke down, the tire went flat upon the highway. Well, they're never gonna make it, yeah, they'll be here again. Nothing good comes out of the Stadium Inn. Oh, there's an old man mumbling to himself by the door. Something, something, something he can't take anymore. Well, I can't quite make it out, and they won't let him in. Sometimes you learn the hard way at the Stadium Inn. Boom, 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 boom. Chicken-legged daughter with her mother hen. Dumb old dead-eyed daddy with the chin caved in. Misspelled a sweet confession in the bathroom stall. When I die, I hope I get to go to Haven, y'all. Haven. Boom, 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 boom. All Brokeback Mountain playing on a TV screen. Brokeback reenactment, room 213. Well, they live the lives they want, so let the world come in. Or let them see right through the windows of the Stadium Inn. Boom, 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 boom. Audacia's got a secret that she's dying to tell. Her own kind of real estate she's willing to sell. Ah, but she's making happy people out of married men. You can see right through the windows of the Stadium Inn. Come one, come all, and watch the world cave in. Right through the windows of the Stadium Inn. Boom, boom, boom. Right through the windows of the Stadium Inn. Amen. Boom, 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 boom.
That's Johnny Fritz here with a big smile on his face trying out a new song called Stadium Inn. Where's that place?
It's right at the end of, it's right at Highway 24, Interstate 24 and I-40, right by the stadium in Nashville. And, you know, it's one of those, it used to be, speaking of Roger Miller a minute ago, it used to be Roger Miller's King of the Road. It was his hotel back in the 60s or 70s. And since then, it's just kind of fallen down, down, down. And but it's an amazing place. They used to have amateur wrestling in the lobby, and it was $5 if you wanted to sit in the front row. If you wanted to sit in the back row, which was the second row, it was $8 in the back, $5 in the front. And there's some amazing wrestlers in there. And I tried to bring my family there for Christmas last year, and they came into town, and they were like, I said, can we get, you know, 4 tickets for wrestling? We don't do wrestling no more. So Nashville's changing, you know, and it's really sad. But this place is still just as dark as ever, even if they don't have wrestling. It's just such a, it's a funny little world. And now there's traffic in Nashville. So if you're driving down I-40, 24, it's actually 2465. There's so many freeways in Nashville, I don't know. But if you're driving down there and you get stuck in gridlock traffic, you're usually like eye level with most of the windows, and they're all open, and you can just see in there, and it's just a dark world. So there's that song.
A place where the no vacancy sign perhaps is not flashing all too often.
Not much is flashing. No light bulbs are going off at the stadium.
I mentioned before how you are a marathon runner and you work with leather.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you could talk about that and maybe tell us
how
that may inform or inspire your music.
Yeah, definitely. Running is something I've been doing since I was about 13. And, you know, it's anybody who runs knows the effects of can have on the mind and stress release and stuff like that. God, it just feels so good to go. You know, I'm a pretty neurotic, kind of neurotic dude, you know, and being able to just go out and pound out 5-6 miles and then go zone out at the Kroger grocery store in the cereal aisle and just completely blissed out, you know, like content, not stressed out about anything and just like feeling accomplished after 30 minutes of exercise. It's just, it does wonders.
It puts you in a very zen place.
Oh, it's the best. It really is. It just takes such a toll on the body. And then I'm a man of extremes. I like to push things until I'm always kind of sick from I'm kind of sick right now from just asking too much of myself. And so and that's why I got into marathons, because I was running. I thought, well, that'd be the thing to do, you know? And so that's running. Leatherworking is another, well, I'm a musician, so I got to figure out some way to make money, you know? And when I moved to Nashville about 8 years ago, I was just broke, just dead broke. And I really wanted a leather covered guitar like Waylon Jennings, you know? And I found a guy in Nashville that's made Waylon's original guitar, and he makes them, and, you know, they were like $1,500 or $2,000 or something. I really wanted one, but I saved up about half that much money and then found out about this leatherworking shop, and I went in there and just spent all my money on tools. I just bought like an I didn't know how to make anything, but I just bought a bunch of leather and a bunch of tools and made my own leather-covered Waylon Telecaster. And then from there, I realized I could probably make some money off it, so I started selling dog collars and stuff like that. And now I make like this guitar strap, and I've outfitted quite a bit of bands.
And that guitar strap says?
It says Sweet down the front, and it says Creep down the back. And Sweet
An
creep.
Inside joke.
I don't know. It's kind of just my thing. It's, you know, I'm kind of a sweet creep. That's it.
Far out.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. And it's kind of, yeah, I made this guitar strap, and I think I might have to name the record after that, because that's how Dad Country came about.
Sweet Creep?
Yeah, Sweet
that's
Creep.
That's great.
It might be good. I don't want to alienate people too much or make them not want to buy my record because it's weird.
Your first album cover, though, was, well, a trucker with X-ray vision.
Yeah. Well,
who could see through girls' bikinis.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The truck, the lights, it's a prototype I'm working up, patent pending. But the headlights are X-ray lights, and they can see right through women's clothing. So be warned, women. It's called Down on the Bikini Line, that record.
Every trucker's wildest dream.
Yes, it is. I believe it is.
To give listeners some context, you used to go by Johnny Corndog, and now you've switched to your birth name, Johnny Fritz. And in listening to the Johnny Corndog album, Down on the Bikini Line, it's kind of, the perspective is this kid growing up in the middle of nowhere, hungry for the big city lights, and the singer on Dad Country seems to be someone who's tired and run down, seen the city lights, been there, got the shirt, kind of a perspective.
Johnny Corndog was a name I had since I was a little kid, and it just stuck, you know. And so when I started making music, it was just like Johnny Corndog's playing, you know. I was like, oh, man, I even have a stage name, you know. But it just got to be to where I wanted to be recognized as a songwriter instead of a cartoon character, you know. And And that wasn't really working. Every time I'd go into any interview or anything, everybody just be like, I've just got to know where this name came from. I was like, oh, can you just shut up for, you know, what was your favorite lyric? Or did you like anything else about it? Was it just a name? So I questioned it quite a bit, and then I just decided to drop it. But I'm the same old me. It's me, you know, nothing's different. And I think that's kind of a shock to people. It's like,
so it's just a coincidence that the mood of the Johnny Fritz album might be a little more, I don't know, world weary.
Yeah. It was really just a batch of songs I'd written over about a year and a half. And that's really it. You know, the previous year and a half, I had written the Down on the Bikini Line record. But you know what's funny about when nobody's paying any attention to you is you can just make whatever you want and nobody will judge you because nobody cares. Nobody's listening. But then after you've like put yourself out there and the world's kind of like, here's what I like, here's what I don't like, well, it kind of affects you a little bit. And I think maybe you might be picking up on some of that on the Dad Country record. It is a little bit more. But I was also going through a terrible breakup. A lot of those songs are kind of sad. Some of them are kind of sad, but but yeah, same old me, though.
I know you have a great story about right place, right time kind of moment with recording the album.
Oh, yeah.
And Jackson Browne.
Yeah.
Please tell.
Sure, yeah. Well, so you know the band Dawes. You know those guys. Well, they're the backup band on Dad Country. And it's something we'd been talking about doing for a long time. And Taylor, the lead singer, is one of my best friends, and he was saying, man, I'd love to have Dawes back you up. I thought, man, that sounds great, but you guys are busy. How does that happen? And he said, well, I've got a producer that'll do it, and you come out to L.A. for 2 months, and we'll figure it out. Okay, that's what we did. So I went out there, and producer flaked out, and it just fell through. It was like, oh, L.A. story, you know? And so it just didn't work out, but we had a couple shows booked anyway where they were backing me up in Hollywood. And Jackson Browne came to one of them because he's good friends with Dawes. And he's sitting in the front row, and he's got his hand on his chin. He's got that old, like, you know, that wise old sage look, just kind of like hanging on to every single word I was saying. And he was really listening, and it was amazing. I thought, oh, God, Jackson, it was intimidating as all hell, you know. But after the show, I'd met him a couple times before. He came and he said, what are you doing out here? I said, well, we're doing a record with Dawes. He's like, oh, great. Where are you doing it? So, well, that's the thing. The studio just fell through. We don't have a studio. And he said, oh, you should do it at my place. I said, sure, Jackson Browne, we'll do it at your place, you know? And he said, I'll call you tomorrow. This was on like a Friday. He called me Saturday morning. Said, just cut straight to business. Johnny, this is Jackson Browne. You can use the studio next week, but I can only give you Monday to Thursday because Bob Dylan's coming in on Friday, and he's got it for 2 months, and he's recording his new record. So you just have to be done. I said, well, 4 days, man, we'll make it happen. And we did. We cut 14 songs in 4 days, and most of the songs hadn't been finished, and Dawes hadn't even heard half of them. Taylor and I had sat down with him a lot, but the rest of the band hadn't heard him. So like Goodbye Summer was the third take, the third time ever playing it. And so they made up that arrangement that quick, and it's so cool. It was just such a quick record, and I'm just endlessly grateful for Jackson and Dawes for that. It was an amazing thing.
You warming up the studio for Bob Dylan.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I warmed it up for him. I got it. I loosened it for him. There you go, Bob. You're welcome.
So I want to talk about one of the songs off the album, and you don't have to play it, but
sure.
Last summer I saw you play the song Have You Ever Wanted to Die?
Oh, yeah.
At a strange nightclub at the Mile of Music Festival in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell that, you know, most of the people in the room, they might have heard of you, but they'd never seen you live before. But when you started playing that song, the whole room fell quiet and everyone
really?
Was hanging on every word.
Oh, wow.
And everyone really started thinking. And I was just curious what inspired that song, where you were when you wrote it, or just any anecdote about it, really.
Yeah. Well, that song came from a breakup. That was like the one. That was like probably the saddest moment of my life, you know, where you want to die. It's a it's about the lowest, you know. And I was living in New York and going through a terrible breakup, and I started playing it, and I was just really depressed. I was playing it, and I forgot about it. And a roommate of mine, a couple days later, was humming it, and he was like, "Have you ever wanted to die? Have you ever debated it?" And I said, "Man, what is that?" And he was like, "That's you. Your song. That's what you were singing the last couple days." And he's like, "I've had it stuck in my head. I heard it through the wall, and it's great. What is it?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know. I was just playing around with it." And then I looked back at my phone, and I had actually recorded a little demo of it, and it was done. I was like, "Oh, there it is. There's a song." I didn't really realize it, but I'm glad to hear you say that, because usually when I play that song, people laugh, you know. And I'm like, "Oh, it's a very sad song. It's a real song." And I try to prepare everyone, like, this is sad. Please don't laugh at me." And then people laugh, which is actually a problem I have. You know, nobody takes me seriously. But a really good friend of mine, Robert Ellis. I don't know if you've heard Robert Ellis.
Yeah, he's great.
He's the best. Well, Robert's a really funny guy, but his songs are so sad and serious. And nobody ever thinks he's kidding when he's making jokes, and it's a real problem for him. And I have the opposite problem. So he and I did a record, a 7-inch, a 45 called Neurotic by Nature, and he covered Have You Ever Wanted to Die, and I covered his song Sing Along, and it's like an electronic record. But anyway, we've kind of been teaming up a lot lately because of that exact problem, you know?
Could you do maybe a verse of that song?
Yeah, sure, I can do that.
Or the whole song, whatever you're up for?
Yeah, sure. It's been a minute. I haven't played in a minute.
Have you ever wanted to die? Have you ever debated it? Have you ever thought about what would happen if you did follow through with it? What would be your fate? If you were to be called away, if you were to be taken out and dressed up and then boxed up and then hauled away, hauling away, hauling away, hauling away, while I'm crawling away. Have you ever wanted to cry in front of your parents both and tell them everything you never ever wanted them to know? Or have you ever really wanted to drive straight into the heart of it? Oh, even if you're gonna kill yourself, you're the only one that's gonna go to hell. You're the only one that could pull yourself out of it.
That's Have You Ever Wanted to Die by my guest tonight, Johnny Fritz. And while the sad song, Happy Melody contrast is nothing new, there's just something about that song. I don't know, very real and human.
Yeah.
Something everyone's thought, but not everyone said, or even...
Yeah, I'm really proud of that song. I like that one a lot. It's one of my favorite songs. I'm glad you like it. Thanks. Mm-hmm. I don't play it that often. I really should. You know, it's one of those, it's like when I know that not everybody's going to get it, I'm like, well, the heck with it. I'm not going to play it then. You know, if y'all aren't going to hang on to it, then that's my fault. I need to just get over that and just start playing it more. I will. I'll start playing that some more.
So what brings you to Milwaukee?
Playing a show tonight, or yesterday, or whenever this airs, the other day, which it's going to hopefully have gone great, at the Cactus Club with Nikki Lane and Hugh Bob. Milwaukee's own, Milwaukee's best, Hugh Bob. Yeah, we're playing a show. We're doing a little tour with Nikki Lane, my neighbor, and her band's backing me up on this thing, and it's pretty fun, but it's so cold up here. When does it end?
It doesn't.
It never ends, does it?
And then it's just so hot. Ugh. And then we look forward to the cold. It's just a circle.
God, it's brutal. Can I do another song?
Let's do it.
Yeah, should I do it? It's a song about being sick on tour, which this is probably my favorite song. I don't know why, but I really like it. I did a tour with Michael Hurley. You know Michael Hurley? He's amazing. He's one of my favorites. He's recorded with Smithsonian Folkways in 65 and has been making incredible records ever since. I asked him to come on a tour a couple of years ago, and he did. He came out, and we drove up New England in my Honda Civic. It's like 72-year-old legend and 25-year-old me. And we both got really sick, and I called him a couple days after the tour. And I said, "How you doing, Michael?" And he said, "Oh, just hawking up green gobs." So I took that line and put in a song about being sick on tour.
Hugging up green gobs and living on cough drops and sweating myself to sleep. Oh, 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 oh. Orange juice and eardrops and antibiotics and generally just wasting away. Oh, 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 oh. I wanna go and just lay down on the cold concrete kitchen floor. Man, I hate this. Oh, I just can't shake it. Is it not something I could call my manager for? Fluid in my lungs and spots on my doggone tongue, and I swear to God I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Oh God, I can't breathe. I wanna go home and just lay down on the cold concrete kitchen floor. Man, I hate this. Oh, I just can't shake it. Is it not something I could call my manager for?
An appropriate song for our under the weather guest, Johnny Fritz, to be singing. Thanks for stopping by. It's good
Thank you.
Good to
Thanks,
chat.
Strapper.
And I think you are a truly unique voice in the in the landscape of country music today. So keep going, keep doing your thing.
Thank you. Just treat me like you would any other great, great man.
See you next time.
Okay, thanks, Trevor.